number two, the Pete Callender Show. I am the Pete of this show. Ironically. And unironically. News Talk 1110 993 WBT. The phone number is 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. I was going to ask Bill O'Reilly about this very thing. Like, we were talking in the last hour with Bill O'Reilly about his latest book, Killing the Legends. And like, we were talking about deceased people. And despite the fact that they were obviously top of mind, I did not think any of them were in the room with us, with me or him. He was on the phone with me, but I don't think Elvis or Lennon or Ali, I don't think any of them were present. Apparently, yeah, I mean, apparently this happens. I mean, not to me, but I guess other people, where if you're thinking of somebody who is dead, you think that they are present in the room. And I don't mean like, oh, I can feel their presence or their spirit is with me or you carry their memory with you always. I'm not talking like that in a metaphysical sense. I'm talking in a physical sense. Like, hey, everybody in the room. Hey, Pete, how are you? Oh, hey, what's going on? You know, Joe and Bill and Jane and Muhammad Ali. And you're like, no, I would not think he's in the room with me just because he's top of mind. But apparently other people do. Well, I shouldn't say other people. One person. Well, maybe two. Two people? Maybe. One would be the president, and the other would be his flack, Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary. This is what she said. I am taking her at her word for it. All right? Because the president was at some event yesterday, and he gives a shout-out. He does a call-out, you know, as they do when you show up at an event and you got all of the poobahs and dignitaries and people that are like, oh, my gosh, he said my name. You know, like Hillary Clinton, when she gave the shout-out to her good friend Ray Cooper, governor of North Carolina. And then Kamala Harris, she also did it when she came to town more recently, right? She gave a big shout-out to her good friend Ray Cooper, the governor of North Carolina. So, like that. They do that, and everybody's like, oh, my gosh, they said my name. And so Biden is doing this kind of shout-out. But he shouts out someone who's dead. No, it's not that. It wasn't the guy who couldn't stand up, Chuck. It wasn't him. That was a different time. Remember, he's like, oh, give it up for Chuck. Oh, get a stand out there. Oh, gosh. Well, stand up for him, everybody. Yeah. Now, that was a gaffe, right? That's a gaffe. And this is what the media wants us to believe is the reason why Joe Biden said what he said, is that it's a gaffe. And Joe Biden, oh, that's just old Joe. Lunch pail Joe rides the train in every day to work, which, by the way, I never believed that. I mean, what with his propensity for lying and then the lying about the story of the conductor that he would always talk to that actually retired long before he was there, but whatever. He's a liar. He's a congenital liar. So I always just assumed that was a lie because he just lies. But now that I've been paying more attention to his schedule because he's president, he might actually have gone back to Delaware for all of these vacations, right? He takes a lot of vacations back to his house in Delaware. So maybe he actually was on the train every single day. Maybe he was just taking like so many vacations, like every single day he would leave town. Maybe. I don't know. Yeah, so he's at this event and he gives this shout out to Jackie Walorski. Jackie Walorski was a Congress member who died in the car accident like 6 weeks ago. 6 weeks ago. Indiana Republican, but she worked with Democrats on this hunger bill, which it was weird because when I was listening to the event and listening to some of the reporter questions for the White House about it afterwards, I was trying to figure out, like, I don't understand, is this like the Mockingjay thing, right? This hunger event, and like Biden is out there announcing these hunger events, and I'm thinking, like, are we going to pit people against each other, battle to the death? What's going on here with the districts and the tributes and all that? Anyway, no, it was like they're gonna wipe out hunger. That's what they're gonna do. Wipe out hunger. by raising prices on food, I think. President Biden mistakenly called out for the late Representative Jackie Walorski, the Indiana Republican who died in a car crash in August. He was giving opening remarks at a White House conference on hunger, nutrition, and health. Walorski was one of four co-sponsors on a bill to fund the conference, and she had been an advocate for reducing hunger in America. And Joe Biden, when he's looking around the room and giving the call-outs, and he says, "Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie?" She was going to be here. I have no doubt she was going to be here, Mr. President. I have no doubt she wanted to be here. However, she died in a horrific car crash, which, by the way, investigators, the police say that that car crash was caused by the person driving her car. She was in the car that caused the crash. It was a head-on collision. They attempted to pass a slower-moving vehicle on like a two-lane road. They were going like 80-something miles an hour when they tried to make this pass, and they ran head-on into another vehicle, and everybody in their car was killed, and it killed the driver of the car they hit. Now, what's also interesting is that after this accident occurred, Joe Biden and the First Lady Jill Biden, Dr. Jill Biden, issued a statement extending their condolences, and then they ordered the White House to take the flags down to half staff, which is now making me wonder, did Joe and Jill even write that statement, or was that just something that got cranked out of the press shop? Now, that in and of itself, not that big of a deal, right? They have the press shop for that reason, as they put out these statements. But it also indicates that if that's simply what occurred, there was this statement that got turned out and sent out, that's it. Did anybody even tell Joe Biden? Why wouldn't you tell him that? Wouldn't that be part of some sort of a briefing, a daily briefing of some kind? Hey, there was a member of Congress that just got killed in a horrific car crash, two staffers and an innocent bystander. No? Or what's worse, they did tell him and he forgot. See, this opens up a lot of different questions, depending on the answers to these questions. And I don't know what the answers are. Now, some reporters, to their credit, started asking some of these questions at the White House press briefing. It did not go well. Well, I mean, that's a standard press briefing for Corinne Jean-Pierre. So we'll take a listen to some of that. What is it? Enzo has a... I don't know what this is about. This is not on topic, Enzo, but what's going on?
Hey, Pete.
Hey, what's up?
I heard that Mecklenburg County, they're going to not pull people over because of skin color. Is that right?
They're not going to pull people over based on skin color? Is that what you're asking?
Yeah, if you're driving with a suspended license or revoked license, no insurance, how do they make that determination? Do they see the driver and determine, okay, well, I see a light, and so am I going to pull him over as opposed to a dark skin? And then someone in the middle, what do they do? Do they flip a coin? I'm trying to figure this one out.
Do you know any law enforcement officers?
Actually, I do.
Yeah. Have you talked with them about that?
They don't work in North Carolina, though.
But you could ask them.
I'm trying to figure out this equity thing that they're trying to pull here in Mecklenburg County with the Sheriff's Department.
Yeah, but you could... Well, they're not supposed... Well, first off, Mecklenburg Sheriff's Office doesn't generally pull people over. And I know Gary McFadden is sheriff. He kind of wants to go back to being a CMPD. He wants his own little police force as the sheriff and to start doing a lot of these traffic stops and stuff again. But generally, I mean, look, I've been pulled over by a sheriff's deputy, but I honked my horn at him. Well, that was because he wasn't going when he was clear to go through the intersection, but he was, distracted driving. But whatever. That was years ago. The purpose of first off, they collect the data on the pullovers and stuff, and they don't look at people's skin color, generally speaking, in order to pull people over, especially in today's day and age. I don't even know if they're pulling many people over at all, just because of the risks that you run by pulling somebody over and it going sideways and then it ending up on the news,
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know. So I'm unaware of any law enforcement officer that looks at a person driving the car and says, oh, they are a particular race, I'm going to pull them over. I don't know a cop. And if they do think that, I don't know any of them that would admit to it.
If the individuals have the same circumstances, with the same, you know, like driving with a revoked license, and then they determine, it's a dark-skinned...
But you wouldn't know... Right, but hang on, Enzo. You wouldn't know if they have a revoked license until you actually make the stop, right? So first thing would have to happen is you'd have to have some sort of reason to be interested in the vehicle in the first place, right? There has to be some sort of precipitation. Yeah, well, there's got to be some sort of precipitation. Well, even then, like, why are you running the plates? There has to be some sort of a precipitating event, whether it's speeding, driving recklessly, they're doing something that draws your attention as a cop. They're not driving through traffic and just running people's plates based on skin color, right? I don't believe they are. Now, maybe there's some analysis that's the kind of department that McFadden has been running. I'm unaware of that, but generally speaking, there's a precipitating event that prompts law enforcement to take a look at a vehicle, at which point they run the plates, right? Then they're going to know, okay, this tag is expired, or they may see an expired tag. That's the precipitating event. That's generally how that stuff happens, right? So I would submit that the race of the person does not become a factor until after there is some sort of like probable cause or precipitating event. I don't know if I don't know if that answers the question. Enzo, I appreciate the call. I'm unclear as to what the policy is. Is there a story today about the Mecklenburg Sheriff's Office and equity pullovers or something? I'm unaware. Thank you, Allison. She sent me a picture of the rainbow around the sun. That's so weird. Yeah, I could not get a good picture of it when I was driving in, but I saw it too. And that's what it looked like. I was like, that's so weird. It looks like an eyeball. Like the sun is the pupil, and then like it's like a rainbow that went all around it. Because the cloud cover was so thin but spread out that the sun, it like created this rainbow effect all around the sun, all of the rays. It's pretty wild. So thank you for sending that, Allison. I appreciate it. And I note, yes, it does appear you are in a stopped vehicle, not moving. So also, apparently, this was I was unaware that Brett Jensen did a story on this, and that's what Enzo was responding to. I guess it ran during the top of the hour news or something. And so he was asking a question about what apparently is now a, quote, new sheriff's office policy where they're not going to pull people over for non-moving violations. This was the key component. That's why I was confused listening to what Enzo was asking me. I didn't understand what the question was. So apparently, the sheriff's office is now going to this different policy where they're not going to pull people over for non-moving violations. By the way, Asheville did this years ago. They quit pulling people over for non-moving violations. What does that mean? Broken headlights, broken taillights, right? Things that they'll still pull you over if you're driving recklessly, if you're speeding. That's a moving violation. But a non-moving violation is this stuff like expired tag or something like that. These are non-moving violations. If you are committing a moving violation, they will pull you over. But what the story, and that's what Jensen's report spells all that out, what Enzo was talking about was the last sentence in Jensen's report where he says that the change in the policy is to stop the pullovers based on skin color. That's what the sheriff said. He quoted the sheriff as saying that this will reduce the pulling over of people based on skin color. Well, wait a minute. Why would you be pulling people over based on skin color you said they were pulling them over based on non-moving violations. Or are you saying that the sheriff's office, this is the sheriff who's saying that the sheriff's deputies, all the people that work for him that are apparently doing traffic control, which that wasn't traditionally what the sheriff's office did, right? Whenever, when they consolidated the police department with the sheriff, with the Mecklenburg police, when Mecklenburg and Charlotte police merged and became CMPD, they reorganized responsibilities, right? The sheriff, they took over the, you know, they were like, all right, we're going to focus on the jails, and like they can be involved in the traffic enforcement operations, but the sheriff's office, for the better part of what, 30 years, has not been law and for traffic enforcement. They have not been engaged in that effort. That they left that to CMPD. But apparently, the sheriff, who also, as I understand it, is impeachable and cannot be brought to testify because of stuff that apparently happened while he was on CMPD. But don't worry, none of that matters. Not to Democrat voters who put him back in office. The sheriff apparently wants to get back into this realm. Remember, he was one of the first things he did, right? He went up to North Mech area, what he perceived was like an equity deal, where he started doing speed traps around white neighborhoods in order to give them a taste of their own medicine or something, right? Didn't he say something to the effect of this is about equity, right? Write a bunch of white people tickets. Now, I'm sure nothing bad could happen with a law enforcement leader viewing everything through the prism of race. I'm sure it'll work out fine. Yeah. No worries at all about that. So he started doing that almost immediately when he took office, if I recall correctly. So I guess this is another effort. That's kind of weird, though, because they weren't doing the traffic enforcement. He then started them doing traffic enforcement, and now he's telling them, stop pulling people over for the non-moving violations, which I guess. So what did you find out? What did you find out that when you told your deputies to start doing traffic enforcement, they just started writing tickets for against black and brown people? Is that what happened? All the deputies started writing tickets for minorities, not white people. So now you're going to get rid of the non-moving violations. So now they're not going to look for those. So now it's just moving violations, okay? And so what? So are you saying that black and brown people don't get the non-moving violations? Or they get more of them, I should say? So they get more of those than white people do? Now, look, there was an argument here, and this is what Asheville did when they adopted this policy. They talked about this. That this is it's a poverty thing. The people who don't have access to money, they get behind on the taxes for the cars, right? The inspections and all that. I mean, this is part of the problem with the regulatory state that the left never owns up to, right? They constantly talk about, the environmental necessity of having the inspections, and they want taxes. You know, you pay your fair share and all that. So the vehicle tax. So they start doing all of these things that increase the cost of owning a vehicle, and then are totally shocked when the people they hire to enforce the laws that they wrote and put on the books then start enforcing the laws, and the people who are generally hit by these laws are the poor and the working class, because it's easier for them to miss the payments. Rich people, they generally don't have a problem writing the car tax check, right? Harder to write that check if you're living paycheck to paycheck. So maybe that's the point here, right? Is to pass all the laws, have all of the revenue tied to these laws, but don't enforce the laws because too many poor people end up getting caught up in the laws that you passed. It's two Americas. Right? That's kind of the deal. Sounds like. It's like the two Americas thing. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. By the way, next week, we're looking at having Ted Budd on the program and Mike Rogers as well, former congressman. He's coming through town. So Both of those guys lined up for next week. Hopefully, if anything changes, I'll let you know. Let me jump over here and get Spencer on. Hello, Spencer. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Doing fine, Pete. How are you?
I'm doing all right. What's up?
Okay. That halo is just a solar halo. It appears as a large ring around the sun or the moon. You can have them at night, too.
Oh, I thought that was just from the drugs I was taking. Anyway, sorry. Go ahead. Yeah.
It has a radius of about 22 degrees, meaning that from the sun out to the arc is like 22 degrees. And it's caused by ice crystals high in the atmosphere that are shaped like kind of like a short pencil. You know, it's got a hexagonal shape, the pencil does.
Yeah.
It's got six sides. Well, if you had ice crystals that are shaped like short little pencils and you have a lot of them high in the atmosphere, then it's going to create this arc. And the arc is part of a system where on either side you can have what's called a sun dog, which is a brighter part of that arc around the sun, and it has color in it. And then you can have sun pillars, which are, they appear as a shaft of light exceeding vertically above the sun. Most often at sunrise or sundown, they develop as a result of the same ice crystals slowly falling through the air. The solar arcs, the solar halos, they're more common in the fall and the winter, or maybe even in the spring than they are in the summertime. But you can have them all year round.
Hmm. So what it sounds like you're saying is that these ice pencils that are like up in the air and then they fall down on us, it sounds like the sun is commanding some sort of attack of ice shards against humans. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Oh, that's what it sounded like. Like this, another way the sun is trying to kill us. That's what it sounds like.
No. No, no, it's just high altitude, high atmospheric ice crystals.
But what happens to the ice crystals?
They either fall as...
And you said they're shaped like pencils.
Yeah.
And they fall through
pencils.
The...
Short pencils. Like if you had a pencil that was like sharpened down to maybe an inch long. It's a crystal like that. It's not going to hurt you if it falls out of the sky.
You just said it was sharp, and it's fallen from the atmosphere. It's going to get some velocity on it, right? I mean, hail does damage onto rooftops, so why wouldn't ice hurt me?
You have something called terminal velocity, and terminal velocity
that's OJ running through the airport. I've heard that. I have heard of that.
Terminal velocity is something like the resistance to air is only going to let it fall at a certain speed. And you could almost think of it as snow.
Well, I mean, that sounds almost way less lethal, but nonetheless, it sounds still. You said it was a sharpened ice crystal hurtling down from space, from the atmosphere, and you called it a sun dog. And so it just sounds to me like evidence that the lethality of the sun.
Let me rephrase part of that.
Oh.
If you take a pencil and you saw it in half and then saw an inch off of it, that inch of pencil is kind of like those ice crystals.
I got you. That does sound less lethal. All right. Well, thank you, Spencer. I appreciate it.
Sure.
Have you ever taken a paycheck from the sun to act as its spinmeister, to act as its spokesperson?
No, but I'm a spokesperson for total solar eclipse.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
Sure.
All right. Take care. Yeah, I don't know. Sounds like he's on the payroll of Big Sun. That's what it sounds like. anyway, so, all right, let me get back to this Joe Biden, comment. And, again, I point this out. I'm not mocking the president. I'm not trying to, you know, pile on, and I'm not talking about him. 'Cause to me, you know, Joe Biden calling out for, you know, to do a hello to a congressperson that's not there, not at the event, not a big deal, right? That usually they give them cards or something and they say, you know, okay, here are the dignitaries. Make sure you say hello to, you know, so-and-so. But nobody would have put that on a card because this congresswoman is dead. She died 6 weeks ago. The The White House made a point of lowering all the flags half staff and to put out a statement expressing condolences, right? This was 6 weeks ago. So either Joe Biden wasn't made aware that this congresswoman had died, but he does know who she is because he was not reading off a teleprompter and he was not apparently looking at notes. And so he knew who she was, sounded like. I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt there. But he's asking where she is. So does he not know she's dead? Or did somebody tell him and now he has forgotten? Right? That's sort of the question, right? Did he know she's dead? And the White House press secretary, Karine Jean-Pierre, does not know how to answer this question. And her, I don't even know what you would call this, but her response is even worse given the obviousness of what occurred. You could just say he made a mistake. You can just say he's reading off a teleprompter. You could just say somebody put it on a card. The cards were drafted a while ago before she died. There were all sorts of lies you could make up here. But she doesn't, so I guess kudos for that. But she goes with another lie. Well, here, take a listen.
What happened in the hunger event today? The president appeared to look around the room for an audience member, a member of Congress who passed away last month. He seemed to indicate she might be in the room. What happened?
So the president was, as you all know, you guys were watching today's event, a very important event on food insecurity. The president was naming the congressional champions on this issue and was acknowledging her incredible work. He had already planned to welcome the congresswoman's family to the White House on Friday. There will be a bill signing in her honor this coming Friday. So, of course, she was on his mind. She was of top of mind for the president. He looks forward to discussing her remarkable legacy of public service with them when he sees her family this coming Friday.
He said, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? She must not be here.
No, I totally understand. I just explained she was on top of mind. This wasn't what we were able to witness today and what the president was able to lift up at this event was how her focus on wanting to.
Yeah, blah, 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 blah. He said, where's Jackie? Jackie, are you here? Oh, she was going to be here. He said that because she was on top of mind. First off, that's not the expression, but that's what she keeps saying, on top of mind. That's why the president was looking for her, because the president had the names, right? Celebrating the people, the champions of this legislation, those who got it done. And then he looks around for her. Hey, where is she? So does he not know she's dead? Of course. So what Karine Jean-Pierre is trying to tell us, what she's gaslighting us, what she's lying about, right, is either that the president knows, of course, that Congresswoman Walorski died in August. Of course he remembers that. He's doing this bill signing thing and a remembrance for the family on Friday. Like, of course they know. He knows. Of course he does. Like, what kind of a question is that? Right? That's what they want us to believe? That of course he knew, and that's what he was asking. But then if he knows she's dead, why is he asking where is she? Then what he said doesn't make sense. Why would he say that? Well, she was on top of mind. That doesn't explain why he's looking for her, right? Are you saying then that when someone is on the top of Joe Biden's mind, he thinks that they're in the room with him? Even if they're dead? Why would you start looking for a dead person just because you're thinking of them? See, there's no good way to answer this question. Despite the media's efforts at the press briefing, and it actually kind of, you could tell, it hacked off Karine Jean-Pierre. It hacked her off a little bit. We got a montage that Newsbusters put together. We'll take a listen to that in mere moments. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. President Joe Biden at a speech welcoming people and thanking Congress members for their work on some hunger, nutrition, and health bill, calls out Representative Jackie Walorski, says, Jackie, are you here? Jackie, where's Jackie? No, she was going to be here. Jackie Walorski died 6 weeks ago in a horrific car crash. Okay. Now, did Joe Biden know that? The White House press secretary would lead us to believe, of course he knew that. And what he said was simply a reflection that she was, quote, on the top of mind, had been on top of mind for Joe Biden. And so when somebody's on top of mind, for him, he forgets whether they are alive or dead. Right? What else am I to conclude? Now, there are media folks that are trying to spin this as just a gaffe. This is not a gaffe. Okay? A gaffe is, oh, you know, see a guy sitting there and be like, oh, hey, stand up, Chuck. Everybody stand up and let everybody applaud Chuck. Oh, gosh, Chuck is actually a paraplegic. He can't stand. Oh, my bad. Well, stand up for Chuck, everybody. That's what Joe Biden did to the paralyzed guy. And that's a gaffe. You not realizing somebody cannot stand, right? That's different than knowing someone is dead, but looking around the room for them as if they are alive, which, according to the White House press secretary, is what Joe Biden did. I'm trying to read this a different way, but she's giving me no other options. She gets asked about it, gives this answer of top of mind. This is not sufficient to the media, who then follow up. There were like five follow-ups. Take a listen.
I'm trying to get my head around the response. The late Congresswoman was top of mind for the president, and her family was expected to be here, and that's what he was thinking about. What was he looking for? I'm not trying to be snarky here.
No, I mean, and I'm...
No, you were saying what he said there.
And again, I think people can understand.
I'm sorry to have to do this, but I'm compelled to ask you to go one more time back to the question about Congresswoman Walorski.
I'm not sure why. Why? Why one more time?
Frankly, honestly, I think the memory of the Congresswoman and history requires some clarity here. Can you explain where the mistake was made? Was the president confused? Was something written in the teleprompter that he didn't recognize? Can you just help us understand what happened?
I mean, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. No, I hear you, Stephen. I'm answering the question.
Confusing part is why, if she and the family is top of mind, does the president think that she's living and in the room?
I don't find that confusing.
Karine, I have John Lennon top of mind just about every day, but I'm not looking around for him anywhere.
When you sign a bill for John Lennon as president, then we can have this conversation. Okay, go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
What can you tell us
about
that?
I'm sorry, somebody was yelling over you, so go ahead.
There are reports that Treasury Secretary Yellen is looking to leave.
It is not your turn to speak, and you're being rude to your colleagues, and let your colleague answer the question. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, you're yelling and over your colleague, so that is incredibly rude. So can you, go ahead, go ahead.
There are reports that Treasury Secretary Yellen,
does he believe he handled that reference appropriately, or is this something that he would like to get back?
What,
like with a cloth? Like wiped with a cloth? Like, I don't understand what you mean. That last question was from Real Clear Politics' Philip Wegman, and I think he meant to say that he would like to take back, he'd like to get back. They're giving her every opportunity to say, he made a mistake. But she can't even say that. Now, is this because Joe Biden doesn't make mistakes? Of course not. They are constantly coming out and cleaning up statements that he made that were factually incorrect, right? And they're like, oh, what he meant to say was this. Of course he recognizes the one China policy, blah, 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 right? Like, they're always doing this sort of cleanup on aisle tapioca. But this, for some reason, they can't acknowledge that a mistake was made. Even after the media tries to, they offered up all sorts of potential off-ramps for her, right? So first you got ABC's Cecilia Vega, and she is like, what happened there? Like, he's asking, hey, Jackie, are you here? Where's Jackie? And that gives us that first response of, oh, well, the Walorski was on top of his mind. Then you got Phil Mattingly from CNN. And he says he's trying to get his head around this. Like, why was he looking for her? I'm not trying to be snarky, but why is he looking for her? If it's not a, if he doesn't know she's dead, why is he looking for her? This is a pretty simple question, a pretty straightforward question. If he knows she's dead, why is he looking for her? Is it possible that Jean-Pierre is trying to cover up that he doesn't know she's dead for whatever reason? Like, yeah, we sent out that statement and actually he didn't even look at it. Yeah, we got a whole like shadow government running things. And we just sign his name to stuff. Is that the worst option? The worst option of the available options? Is that what's going on? Like, you look at the potential options available and you're like, okay, do I acknowledge that you got a bunch of people that are running this administration and they're just signing his name to stuff and he doesn't have any idea what's going on? That one looks pretty bad. So why don't we go over here and no, he was just top of mind. Totally not even a mistake. And I'll just look like an idiot when I say these things. Right? That's what they went with. This was the best option. Again, I'm giving her the benefit of the doubt that she's not a moron. Okay, so with that huge benefit of the doubt here, that's the option they chose to go with. Because you know they had to know this question was coming, right? Or maybe they didn't. But I think they did, because it looked like she was reading off of some notes. But then again, she looks like she's reading off notes, like, literally all the time. She cannot look anybody in the eye as she gives these answers, which does make sense, because if you're lying, it's difficult to look people in the eye and lie to them. So maybe that's what, like a little glimmer of a conscience that's flickering there. CBS News Radio's Stephen Portnoy. Ugh, that's a terrible name. Anyway, Portnoy gave her an opportunity to blame it on a teleprompter, but she did not take that off-ramp. Instead, she accused him of jumping to a lot of conclusions, because he says, explain where the mistake was made. It's a good question. Where was the mistake made? Was the president confused? Was there something written in the teleprompter he didn't recognize? Can you just help us understand what happened? See, so he even throws a lifeline. They gave him some notes. Somebody put it in there. He's like a Ron Burgundy, and he'll just read anything if you put it in front of him. I don't know. And she doesn't take the opportunity. She says, you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. And he says, no, I'm simply trying to find out what happened here. And her response is, and I'm answering that question that you're jumping to a lot of conclusions. I just answered the question. If that had been the case, I would have stated that, right? Well, not necessarily. I would have stated that clearly, have stated what you just laid out. What I have said is that she was on top of mind, and he is going to see her family in just 2 days' time on Friday to honor her, to honor her work, to honor her legacy, if you will. This isn't a good answer. It's illogical. Now, maybe she thinks that she can get away saying these things. That's possible. I mean, it actually would be pretty on brand, right? You just get up there and lie, and a lot of times, if you're a Democrat administration, media will let you do that. So they just let you do it, to quote another president.